Innovation Alberta, a celebration of science, research, and the inventive spirit. I'm Cheryl Croucher. Conventional wisdom says water runs downhill. But new research by Dr. Kevin DeVito shows that when you're working in the peatlands of northern Alberta, water can actually flow upwards. His discoveries are at the root of hydrology-based conservation in our northern forests. Kevin and his colleagues talked about their work with Ducks Unlimited and Alberta Pacific Forest Industries at the recent Sustainable Forest Management Network conference. This story coming up in the next half hour on Innovation Alberta. One of the very exciting research collaborations showcased at the recent conference hosted by the Sustainable Forest Management Network dealt with forest hydrology. Alberta Pacific Forest Industries and Ducks Unlimited Canada have joined forces to carry out what they call their Boreal Conservation Program. Together, they're developing a better understanding of the wetland resources in northeastern Alberta. They want to know how water birds use the boreal wetlands and how development affects wetland habitat. Their collaboration now embraces a host of partners and research projects. And it all started because Ducks Unlimited was concerned about the decline in two boreal ducks, the scoter and the scaup. Dr. Eric Butterworth is a senior biologist with Ducks Unlimited Canada. I first met Eric in 2002 when we toured the Utikuma Lake study area looking for these ducks. After his presentation for the Sustainable Forest Management Network, I asked Eric if he ever suspected the research program would explode into what it is today.
No, but I did have faith in the fact that if we pursued a solid research program with people like Kevin DeVito, Mark Bidwell, grad students, etc., and with working with companies like ALPAC, that we would start to develop a knowledge base that would then allow us to have a solid foundation for proposing new best management practices that we thought would help maintain and protect wetlands on the landscape.
Through all of this, what have you found out about the ducks?
Well, we still have a lot to learn, but we've started to find out that they're using a broad range of wetland types in the landscape, that they use some wetlands during the breeding season, and they use others during the fall staging period. We're starting to find that certain species are preferring different types of habitats. We're also starting to find that through Mark's work, Mark Bidwell's work from University of Saskatchewan, that they change their community pattern and uses in relationship to forest fire. We're hoping that his work will help to identify if they do change their patterns of use based on harvesting as well.
Do you have any indication at this point what the most devastating impacts are?
No, we don't. First of all, we need to ask ourselves what is devastating. And for most of the species, waterfowl species in the boreal, based on the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Survey work, their populations are, in fact, either maintaining themselves or they're actually increasing. Where they're actually increasing, we're not sure. They might be increasing in the transition zone where it's being cleared for agriculture. The two species that we do have concerns about are scoter and scaup. And we just don't know yet what the reason is for their decline.
So they're still not coming back?
No. No, their populations have started to come back, although people are saying they're seeing more scaup on the prairies and in the parkland area than they have in the past few years. But for us, the biggest problem would be wetlands drying up due to the fact that something is inhibiting the flow of water and nutrients over the landscape. We know that the wetlands have to be there for the water birds to be able to use them, and if a road comes in and causes a dam effect and prevents the water and nutrients from making it to that pond, then it becomes less productive for the water from the waterfowl standpoint. So we see that as being the biggest issue at the moment. There may be other issues around loss of habitat, which is simply through all the road building, well pads, forest harvesting, that may contribute, particularly where there isn't regeneration going on. With the harvesting, we do get regeneration, so we assume that over time the water bird communities will come back if they do leave, and that's what we're hoping Mark Bidwell's work will show us. But where we have permanent roads being placed down, you are losing habitat, and we just don't know what the impact of that will be, have on the water birds over the long term.
Thank you very much, Eric.
Okay, thank you.
That was Dr. Eric Butterworth, a senior biologist with Ducks Unlimited Canada. The other partner in the Boreal Conservation Program is Alberta Pacific Forest Industries. ALPAC operates a pulp mill near Athabasca. Its forest management area is 6 million hectares. Their FMA is an aspen mixed wood landscape, which overlays a rich peatland dotted with marshes, bogs, and fens, all wonderful habitat for a variety of water birds. Dr. Elston Dews is a forest ecologist with ALPAC.
ALPAC's had a long history of engaging the acquirers of new knowledge. And when Ducks Unlimited began looking at the boreal forest in the mid to late 1990s, we recognized a lot of common features with Ducks Unlimited as a potential partner for engaging some of that new knowledge. Ducks Unlimited has got a long history in the prairies of taking knowledge from science and what local landowners do to working with those practitioners of the land to change their practices. And so when we saw that aspect moving into the boreal forest, we saw a common vision, a proactive attitude, and a passion to embark on change.
Well, judging from the presentation that's been given at the Sustainable Forest Management Conference on this boreal conservation project, it looks like it's just grown like Topsy into something very complex and complicated.
Yeah, when you start a relationship, you never know where it's going to go. There's certainly been sort of a business plan driving the way in which we're moving forward, and especially in the last year, that vision that we had close to 5 years ago is really starting to come together from a knowledge to operations continuum perspective.
What are you getting out of this then in terms of things that you can apply on the land in your forest operations? How have things changed up to this point?
In terms of changes, we're coming to a point now where it's actually very exciting. We've got information coming together from the Ducks Unlimited's enhanced wetland classification. We've got new information coming from the collaborative work of Dr. Kevin DeVito at the University of Alberta and the Alberta Geological Survey on their sort of subsurface geology, what's happening below the surface of the earth. And these essentially become different layers that we can begin to build into our planning approach. So we're generating new knowledge, and then it was a matter of, well, how do we begin to translate that new knowledge into our planning and our operations to either, one, verify what we're doing, or two, provide guidance to change our practices to improve upon, because continuous improvement is a part of ALPAC culture. So the work that is ongoing was identified by one of our planners, George Drubnenke, that the information or the layers of information that we were building upon could fit in very nicely into a timber supply model called Patchworks that was developed by a fellow by the name of Tom Moore out of Ontario. We're using this model from a timber supply perspective, but it's got a roading module built into it. And one of the features that we've identified in terms of potential risk to water are the roads that are built, not just by us, but by other land users, be it the provincial government or the oil and gas industry. And so this model allows you to build in different layers of information and apply different values to it. If you know the actual cost, you can build in a sort of a cost layer. But if you don't have specific costs for different layers, you can say, okay, well, we put a value of 1 on a certain portion of that layer and a value of 10 on another layer. And so then you can begin to identify, well, where would be the best place to put the road given this different set of layers of values. And so this model allows us to bring the information from the university-based research, the Ducks Unlimited research, and apply it to a planning model that we're actually using. So it's a very exciting time right now.
With all this information that you're getting, especially about how water works in the north, forestry is actually only a small part of who's on the land. What about oil and gas?
Yeah, the northeastern Alberta, as in much of Alberta, is a very busy place. Forestry is only one of the industrial sectors that's working out there. And we've certainly identified the need to work with the energy sector. ALPAC has got a number of initiatives that work with individual companies. And in a recent workshop that was hosted by Ducks Unlimited and ConocoPhillips, we brought this information about what we're doing as a company with Ducks Unlimited. We brought it to a whole suite of oil and gas industry players, and they were very interested in the information that we had to play. So hopefully the next stage in this partnership will be to bring in a number of energy sector companies to this partnership.
This is also part of some of the work that the Sustainable Forest Management Network is involved in. How is that helping you with the Boreal Conservation Project?
Well, the Sustainable Forest Management Network has been, one, a funding partner of some of the work that Dr. DeVito is doing, and it also ties in with the broad concept of the Sustainable Forest Management Network in terms of bringing in values of economics, of ecology, and of social values. And when you're dealing with water, there's nothing that's closer to the heart of most people than the quantity and quality of water that you have to deal with. And so it's a perfect vehicle to bring those different values together.
Thank you very much, Elston.
You're most welcome.
That was Dr. Elston Dews, a forest ecologist with Alberta Pacific Forest Industries. ALPAC has partnered with Ducks Unlimited Canada to run their Boreal Conservation Program. Heading up the Boreal Conservation Program for Ducks Unlimited Canada and Alberta Pacific Forest Industries is Sylvain Forest. Sylvain is among the group of researchers who showcased their work at the recent Sustainable Forest Management Network conference in Edmonton. As Sylvain explains, the group is focused on hydrology-based conservation in the working forest.
The project, in a nutshell, it's a boreal conservation program and it's focused on hydrology. What we're working on is to conserve hydrology, since there is a lot of surface water flow and a lot of wetlands. And a lot of the smaller wetlands are fed by larger wetland systems, so it's wetland complexes. And I think we all know how busy northeastern Alberta is. So looking at the landscape, you cannot operate without touching, going through, or affecting wetlands somehow. So we're trying to find better way of doing business, basically, in northeastern Alberta. And then ALPAC is really progressive under sustainable forest management and the FAC and the whole sort of mindset of the company to move forward. So that's why we're working with ALPAC. So it's a hydrology conservation approach.
What sort of scientific research is going into this?
Oh, the scientific research is phenomenal, and it comes out of the HEAD project a lot and out of URSA.
Well, what is HEAD?
HEAD was one of the projects that was, what was it, hydrological, ecological, and disturbance. That was HEAD, and it's at the Tikama Lake study area. So the project leader is Dr. Kevin DeVito out of the University of Alberta, and there's many different collaborators, and there's a whole boreal forest hydrology group that's working on it, and then obviously they're grad students, and then we're working on it and bringing it to the operational level with ALPAC, and then from Duck's perspective, we're the conservation company, so we all work together collaboratively to move it forward, to move conservation forward.
Well, certainly from the presentations this morning, it's apparent that this is very, very complex in that area, and that there's some things that are just really people didn't really know about before. Kevin DeVito was talking about how water runs uphill. That was something they didn't know about. And that even things as small as a little puddle are incredibly important. Perhaps you could give me a bit more perspective on that.
It is complex. I think that's certainly true, because what we see on top. I mean, we have a fantastic wetland inventory through ducks, but we don't always know where the water comes from, for example. So that's where the hydrologists really come in, studying how does the water move and why, and what are the assumptions we can make. And then we're still struggling with the groundwater, where that comes to surface and what the connections are, which is very important for SAGD operators, for example. And also the peatlands. I mean, there's different type of peatlands. The fans in the box, they behave very differently. We have patches of permafrost that is melting out that also affects how water flows. And then in Alberta, we have amazing fluctuating water levels. And I mean, I'm not just talking drought and flood, but I mean, that's just one example of how severe the water actually fluctuates. And we're dealing with this when you build a road, when you harvest, when you put a SAGD operation in, and when we're counting ducks too. So there's all these other overlaying fluctuations and the climate on top of a complex landscape.
Now, one of the points that came out from an operational point of view is that there's a lot of concern about building roads. Mm-hmm. If you look at a business as usual case, how would roads be put in now, and how would they affect the wetlands out there?
Right now, I think roads are built. I mean, people that build roads, you know, they try to avoid wetlands, for example. But there's also so many peatlands, especially where you have to go over, and there's fabric you can build over and put more gravel on top. But if the peat, for example, is 6 meters deep, your truck's going to be sinking sooner or later, depending how many vehicles you run over it. How can you do this better? So right now, I think there's this approach. You use your aerial photograph, and you use what you see on top, but you don't consider all the different influences. So I think that's the big difference. There's people are really good in the field because they know what to see and how to deal with it. But from a planning perspective, I think sort of to avoid the really sensitive areas, to have the best possible planning and road placement based on what we know sort of behind the scene, not just the person when actually this person is out there doing the layout for the road. So we can incorporate all that background knowledge, science together, and do better planning up front.
Well, one of the pictures that you showed in your presentation where a road had gone through, it showed that it changed the hydrology so much that the trees were growing on one side of the road, but they were totally dying on the other. Why does that happen?
We see that a lot, and effectively when you put a road through a peatland, very often it acts as a dam. The water is just dammed on the one side, so this side gets really wet, and the trees die in the peatlands. And then the other side is drier, so they can actually grow better because they have oxygen, better conditions, more nutrients. So we see that a lot, and not just in Alberta. We see this all across Canada. I mean, we have a lot of peatlands, so we got to be smarter how we're doing things.
What is this doing for Ducks Unlimited?
For us, we want to make sure the hydrology is conserved. In other words, if you have roads that don't go through the peatland systems or through the swamps and cut off the water, we know wetlands like the marshes are conserved and therefore there's duck habitat. So we cannot just do the business we usually do in the white area or on privately owned land where we do one wetland at a time. The boreal being crown land, lots of different operators. We got to have the broader approach, and the way of doing it is working with industry. And I think that's how we get more results and also the understanding the whys and how.
This program started with between Ducks Unlimited and ALPAC, the forest company. Are there applications to other industries? You mentioned SAGD.
Yeah. I think basically all operators that build roads, I think, can benefit from it. What we know, we're happy to share the information. We had a workshop with the SAGD operators to show people what we're doing, where we are, what we accomplished so far. So basically anybody who's building roads, also maybe the twinning of Highway 63, is there, you know, anything they can learn from it? Or are there any... is there any signs or of the wetland mapping that can be considered to, when the highway is twinned, to maybe restore surface flow again or do things differently or actually have adaptive management where we can try some things and see if they work?
What's next to be done then?
Next is really to have our pilot, which is 8,000 square kilometers, which is actually one map sheet, to really push all the science as far as we can go to see you know, what are the next steps? What are the next questions? And I'm looking forward to it because I think that really will sort of tell us, you know, to which degree we can use what we know now and where we need to go next.
Thank you very much, Sylvie.
My pleasure.
That was Sylvie Forrest, manager of the Boreal Conservation Program, a joint research initiative by Ducks Unlimited Canada and Alberta Pacific Forest Industries. The hydrologist at the center of this research collaboration is Dr. Kevin DeVito. Kevin is an associate professor in biological sciences at the University of Alberta. The research he started in the Utikuma Lake study area is known as the Hydrology, Ecology, and Disturbance Project, or HED. His discoveries about how different hydrology is in the peatlands of northeastern Alberta are fundamental to the changing of industrial practices in the region. For instance, there's the business of water running uphill.
In a nutshell, we're in a subhuman environment, and so there is less precipitation than there is water being pulled up by transpiration and evaporation. So in a nutshell, we are in a little bit of a water deficit, and therefore evaporation and soil storage, and therefore vertical movement to groundwater, characterizes water flow in Alberta. This is quite different to other parts of the country.
Were you surprised when you started dealing with the findings?
I'd say almost frustrated at the first as what the heck is going on. It's almost everything is counterintuitive to what you think and how water would flow downhill. So, for example, water doesn't necessarily flow laterally down a hill. It might go vertically or go uphill, like you're saying, pulled through vegetation roots and pull from plants.
Are you getting a big picture now, a sense of bringing this jigsaw puzzle together?
Yes, we're starting to be able to understand at both a local and small and fine scale to a large scale on where areas of groundwater recharge are occurring, where soil moisture deficits will be greater, and an overall heterogeneity of the water cycling and the dominant processes for water cycling.
Now, in your presentation this morning at the Sustainable Forest Management Network conference, you started talking about the need for a framework for hydrology and something that's different than the way we may be looking at things now. What is it that you're proposing in terms of a framework?
Well, the framework that we've published in the 2005 paper in Hydrological Processes really doesn't present anything new as far as most hydrologists know. We need to look at climate, geology, surface geology, and then the soils and topography. What we're proposing is that a lot of things, for example, for cumulative effects, require an understanding of the scale of interaction. Does it come from a kilometer away? Does it come from the adjacent hill slope? To understand the scale and to map that scale, what we're saying is you need to look at the order with which you look at climate, geology, surface geology, soils, and topography. Most people look at topography first. We're suggesting that perhaps you should look at it at last and let the overall hydraulic properties of the landscape come out in your mapping first.
Can you give me an example of why that would be important?
Well, that definitely would be important for management issues or for understanding where water contributions are coming from. For example, if you use a topographic divide and it's in coarse grain material, the water falling in your catchment or your topographic catchment might actually run out of the catchment and not to the point where you think it would go. And so this is an accounting process that we need to look at for both a water budget as well as for cumulative effects. So for water volume, we need to understand this, and then also to look at the importance of disturbance in the landscape.
Is this something, then, that is just specific to the northeastern Alberta situation, or can it be applied across the country?
What we're suggesting is that it should be applied across the country, is that when you first look at a landscape, understand what the climate is. Where is the geology? And there's in the surficial geology, there's a considerable amount of research being done in different geologies and climates that suggesting that they're the dominant control. So one of the aspects that we've been trying to put through is that this framework could be a generalized framework across Canada. And the other thing is that if we're going to look at management or change policy issues, for example, we need to put every region of Canada within a national framework.
How does this knowledge then get turned around so that it can be used by forest companies, energy companies, anybody who happens to be working in these forested wetland areas, so that they can do their job better?
Well, not to be too facetious, but if it hits them in the pocketbook, they start to listen. And one of the things with surface geology is that if you're in coarse grain materials, the roading effects of roading and wet cycles on roads and cost in maintaining roads will be quite different than in other regions, and it's not necessarily tied to the topographic divide. So once we started presenting these ideas and saying, look, during wet cycles or during summer, you go in this area, this surface of geology, it'll help with maintaining roads and also be much better for the environment. And so that opened up the window of opportunity, at least enthusiasm by industry to look at that. And right now what they're doing is they're looking at mapping surface water contributions and groundwater contributions, and then dealing with specific risk assessments on both cost and ecological disturbances in the landscape.
I noticed that a lot of work is going now into developing new maps that are very refined in terms of where the water is. How is that going to affect road building then? You don't plunk something straight through, you have to go somewhere else?
Yes, well, again, my contribution is to the hydrologic risk. There will also be other ecological risks for what other kind of habitats, etc. But simplifying it down to hydrological risks, you can now look at the landscape and say there's areas to avoid, areas that are low risk or summer risk, not winter risk, and start designing road networks and harvesting to reduce the risk, I guess, on the landscape.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
That was Dr. Kevin DeVito, a hydrologist and an associate professor of biological sciences at the University of Alberta. He was speaking on hydrology-based conservation in the working forest at the recent conference hosted by the Sustainable Forest Management Network. I also spoke with Sylvie Forrest, Dr. Eric Butterworth, and Dr. Alston Dews. That brings Innovation Alberta to a close for this week. The interviews you heard during this program are posted as audio files and as written transcripts on our website at innovationalberta.com. And you can keep up to date on technology and research events by subscribing to our newsletter, Innovation Alberta Online. Innovation Alberta is sponsored by the Sustainable Forest Management Network, the NSERC ACR Integrated Landscape Management Research Chair, Alberta Research Council, Alberta Innovation and Science, ICOR, the Informatics Circle of Research Excellence, Alberta Ingenuity, the University of Lethbridge, Calgary Technologies Inc., Alberta Gaming Research Institute, Alberta Conservation Association, Alberta Heritage Foundation for Medical Research, Science Alberta Foundation, and Japan Canada Oil Sands Limited. Innovation Alberta is mixed at Riverdale Recorders and is a Porcupine Stone production. I'm Cheryl Croucher.